Are you talking to the police in Sweden? How much do they know?
Listen, this Raqqa thing is fake. They fooled us. These things happen.
Everything she's told me is true, I'm sure of it.
I'm going to die.
Hello, and welcome to Quick Hits, a podcast brought to you by Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. I'm your host, Phil Gursky, president of Borealis, and I'm continuing my review of the Netflix series Caliphate, which is a Swedish series about life under Islamic State. And we're up to episode number 3, which I just finished watching. And fair warning, there is some fairly nasty bit of information to pass on in this particular episode. The episode itself starts off with a very violent scene. So Pervin has, of course, been talking to Fatima, who's with Säpo, which is the Swedish security service. And Ahmed, one of the ISIS fighters, has found out. And he basically threatens or asks who she is speaking to. He hits her, knocks down, then he starts to rape her. He finishes raping her and he says that he's going to kill her. Pervin reaches out and stabs him. He bleeds out to death on his floor. And of course, Pervin panics. She talks to Fatima, and Fatima tells her to get rid of the body, which she does. But again, in keeping with this series about how accurate this particular portrayal of terrorism is, I think this is 100% real. Islamic State, we're a bunch of women-hating misogynists. I'm sure that we know that rape happened on a regular basis within the caliphate, so-called caliphate, whether Islamic State was raping Yazidis or raping other women, it didn't really matter. So the violence against women is something which is extremely accurate when it came to this particular period in terrorism history.
Yes. So nobody gave it to you?
No.
How much was it? 200?
Just let go
you.
Of it!
You are not leaving this house wearing that!
I can do what the fuck I want to do.
Oh, no, you can't. That stays right here in this kitchen.
Shut up! Suleiman!
I won't have this shit in my own home!
You are such a fucking infidel, you
That's
know?
Enough! Lisa, say that I'm right.
Force is always wrong.
The other theme that gets developed a lot more in episode number 3 is the struggle between East and West. So there's the family, of which Sule is the daughter, and she is the one who's being recruited by Ibbe, more on Ibbe in a second, and he's trying to get her to become more Muslim, and one thing that he asked her to do is wear the hijab. Well, Sule's dad is, I guess, a secular Muslim, if I can use that term, and he reacts very, very negatively when Sule comes down to breakfast one morning with the hijab, and he basically rips it off her head, and Sule swears at him and accuses him of being irreligious, and she says, God's on my side, and she storms out. And of course, this is another father-daughter kind of struggle. And the father comes around eventually by the end of the episode and allows Sule to wear the hijab. But I think that this struggle or conflict between East and West is a very real one. Speaking as a Canadian, I've seen here in my own country where people would emigrate to Canada from a variety of countries, try to maintain the homeland way of doing things, the homeland culture. And this, of course, would clash with what is called Canadian culture, however you define that. So I think that this notion about Muslims emigrating to Sweden, which, of course, is a very secular, I would classify it as an a-religious society from the experiences that I've had traveling to Sweden. And so we do see this ongoing struggle between Sule, who's now rediscovered here her Islam, or maybe a better term is discovered, because she doesn't seem to have been religious before this. And this, of course, is through the influence of Ibbe. Now, Ibbe is an ISIS recruiter. That we know 100%. And so he is, in fact, still coaching these two wanker converts who aren't very bright. And he's put them in touch with a man called Abu Jibril, who has these seminars that the two converts watch online. And Abu Jibril is essentially trying to convince these two guys that their future lies in carrying on a terrorist attack, and not just any terrorist attack, but a suicide attack. And when he questions one of the less bright convert about what happens to those who martyr themselves for Islam, of course, the young guy says, Jannah. Jannah, of course, is paradise in Arabic. And this is the lie that is taught to terrorist groups, not just Islamic State, but Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, whatever group you want to talk about. They essentially personify sacrificing oneself in an act of terrorism, an act of violence in the name of God, as a one-way ticket to Jannah, a one-way ticket to paradise. So this, I find, is extremely, extremely interesting.
Ah, Fatima, I'm glad you could make it. Listen, this Raqqa thing is fake.
Fake?
Spam, disinformation. The same thing has cropped up in other countries, Norway, Germany, Austria, just with different names. And we fell for it.
But I've checked out the information and most of it seems to stand up.
Yes, but that's their MO, mixing truth and false information.
But wait, who are they?
We just don't know that.
Who's been saying this?
What do you mean?
About this disinformation.
Why? What are you getting at? You think I'm making all this up?
Another theme that comes out in episode 3, which is very interesting, is that Fatima's been in touch with Pervin, trying to get knowledge on this plot, this so-called plot to bomb a terrorist attack in Sweden. And this is why they're going back and forth. She keeps asking Pervin to find out more information. Anyhow, Fatima's boss, Sarah, calls Fatima in one day. She says, look, the whole thing's fake. The Raqqa thing is fake, Raqqa being the so-called capital, the so-called caliphate. Sarah says the intelligence is fake. It's not real. The Norwegians and the Germans and the Austrians have received the same information, and we believe it's just ISIS propaganda, ISIS lies. I found this to be very compelling because in the world of intelligence, you're always faced with this conundrum if you gather all kinds of information from all kinds of sources, and your number one job is to determine how accurate it is. Is it real? Are the jihadis or the terrorists or the bad guys, the foreign spies, whatever, pulling your leg? Are they trying to get you to make decisions or take actions that aren't necessary? This is a constant struggle within a security intelligence service. And the fact that in this episode, Sarah seems to think that there's no there. In fact, she orders Fatima to shut the investigation down. She orders her to stop talking to Pervin. Fatima doesn't do that. We'll get back to that in a second. But I do think that this is a very good personification or depiction of the task that intelligence services are faced with. You have to corroborate information from multiple sources. A single source is rarely good enough. A single source can lie. And Sarah does say that Islamic State does this all the time. And I know that. You look at the volume of propaganda, of information that Islamic State put on video and audio and all kinds of forums and platforms and media around the world, 99% of it was bullshit. They threatened all kinds of attacks. They threatened all kinds of this and that. And most of it had no basis in reality. It's all about spreading fear. It's all about trying to influence. It's all about trying to get us to do things we don't want to do. And it's all about trying to get them to seem much more powerful and much stronger and much more dangerous than they are. So this aspect of the episode I found to be extremely accurate. Now, Fatima does not stop. She gets Pervin to drug her husband again, and she gets into his laptop. And she doesn't have a lot of time, but she finds out that he's been searching shooting ranges. And these shooting ranges are all in Sweden. So she gives one name to Fatima. Fatima checks it out alone. I found that a little bit inaccurate. An investigator, intelligence officer going to, you know, a site in the middle of nowhere, Sweden, on her own to check something out. You'd be with somebody, I would think, on a normal basis. Anyhow, Fatima finds a grenade. Of course, this is a dummy grenade, which Ibbe had taught the dummy converts to use a few episodes ago. So we're now learning that there is some reality to this plot in Sweden, despite what Sarah has said being a fake plot. And then Ibbe ends up going to this, what looks to be a gardening center, and he talks to a Palestinian, and he sent a walker to the Palestinian, who's an emigre to Sweden, to his mother in the Palestinian territories. And I think what Ibbe is going to do is seek to get fertilizer for a fertilizer bomb from this Palestinian gardener. He's trying to recruit him, essentially.
So your family's there?
I'm a widow. Twice over.
That's so sad.
But it isn't, really. It's my greatest joy. Both of the men I married are martyrs.
But
it's the greatest honor.
But what's it like there?
I can show you. Sit down.
The other recruiting that goes on, which is really, really interesting, is that Ibbe introduces Sulle and Karima, the two girls, to his friend Gada. Gada is a female ISIS recruiter. Pure and simple. She brings these two young women in, and she says, you know what? I just came back from the Caliphate. I'm here for a very short time. I can't wait to get back to the Caliphate. It's paradise on Earth. You know, the food is fantastic. And, you know, we don't really hear about the war. And in fact, the Caliphate is, uses the term, a magical place. And then she shows the two girls a bunch of videos of guys who need wives. And it's funny to listen to Karima especially talk about all these hot guys in ISIS. And they show pictures of these wide boulevards with palm trees and very pristine streets. And everything's clean and everything's so beautiful. And when I was watching this episode, it brought me back to something that I remember. Looking at a guy called André Poulin, who was a convert to Islam in Timmins, Ontario, which is the northern part of the province, northern Canada. He became an ISIS guy. He went and fought in Syria. He died. And we got hold of our ISIS put out a martyrdom video. And it's funny, in the martyrdom video, it showed the exact same pictures, these wide, clean boulevards, come to the Caliphate. You know, it's like Beverly Hills. Everything is fantastic. So the fact that the producers of the Caliphate series on Netflix have chosen to show how ISIS recruiters use this utterly bullshit scenes of this beautiful land that the ISIS Caliphate is to try and draw people and to encourage them to come is completely 100% accurate. I've seen those videos. I've seen those pictures. So, you know, this is only episode 3 and it's getting really interesting. But so far, I'm thinking it's fairly accurate. I haven't come across anything where I've kind of said, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way in hell a security service would do that. Or there's no way in hell that a terrorist would do that. So again, a few episodes are left still, but kudos to the producers. I think they have produced so far what strikes me as not just a compelling series. It's a compelling dramatic series, but it's also a compelling series that is firmly rooted in actual security intelligence service practice and in the types of things that a terrorist group like ISIS does. So stay tuned. Episode 4 is coming up. Let me know what you think. Have you watched the series? Are you enjoying it? I will come back with episode 4 soon, but I'd love to hear what you think about what this series of podcasts so far, this review of Caliphate. You can reach me on email, borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me on Twitter at @BorealisSaves, on LinkedIn, or on Facebook. If you enjoy this content, my review of the series Caliphate, you can get this free of charge. Simply go to my website, www.borealisrisk.com, hit the subscribe button, fill in your information. You get all this content free of charge, in addition to the Today in Terrorism series, other podcasts, other blogs. It's all will be sent to you in a daily digest into your email box every day. I hope to hear from you soon. Until I talk to you again, stay safe.